is a selection of writings from the Sefer Or Gedaliel. The Or Gedaliel is written by Rav Gedaliah Shor Zatzal, passed away in 1979. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him in a minute. And each year we always try to pick some Sefer to learn in Elul time to prepare ourselves for the Yom Noraim. In the past we've learned the Maharal's Igeres HaTshuva, and the Maharal's Nesiv HaTshuva, the Baal HaTanya's Igeres HaTshuva. Learned a little bit from the Sefer Tomer Devorah. So this year I thought we'd learn Rav Gedaliah Shor's writings on Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and they're very, very beautiful. I think you're really going to enjoy them. So the bigger pamphlet packet, yeah, just hang on to it, because we're going to use it a bunch of times over the next number of days. Okay, let me just tell you a little bit about Rav Gedaliah Shor. Okay, I have a book here called Great Hasidic Leaders, art scroll book with a pretty purple cover, and portraits of seven masters of the spirit. Now, I told you, Rav Gedaliah Shor passed away in 1979. Right? If you listen to some of the other names in this biography, the Chidushei Harim, the first Ger Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, the Minchas Elazar, the Rugged Shaver, Rav Meir Shapiro, the most recent one, who passed away not all that long ago, is Rav Gedaliah Shor. And it's a very small section just on his life. But one of the terms that is often used to describe Rav Gedaliah Shor, they say that he's one of the first Gedolim who was raised in America. Wasn't born in America. I'm just going to read you a couple of quick selections from his biography. He came to America when he was 10 years old. Now just think about this for a second. He was born in 1911, and he came to America when he was 10 years old. Think of it, just try to picture the landscape of what religious life in America looked like at that time. The fact that someone would remain Shomer Shabbos is a chiddush. Have any shaychus to Torah is a chiddush. He comes to America in 1921, and he becomes a tremendous Gadol B'Torah. He was a genius. He was a tremendous masmid. He learned very diligently. And Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, who was one of the architects of building Torah in America, essentially took Rav Gedaliah Shor under his wing and really nurtured him to become, eventually, a great Rosh Yeshiva. He did, at one point, go back to Europe to study in the great European yeshivas, but his youth was spent in America. And again, the fact that he became such an outstanding Talmud Chacham with all of those challenges that were obvious at that time is an unbelievable thing, is an amazing thing. So they often refer to him as really the first Gadol, both in Torah and Chassidus, to really grow up in America. He wasn't born in America, he was born in Galicia, but he came to America at a very young age. He was a genius. By 12 years old, he was already, learning Gemara very seriously. By 15, he was already giving the Daf Yomi Shir. I don't know exactly, again, what that looked like at that time. And he came to Torah Vadas, where eventually he would become the Rosh Yeshiva. He started giving Shir in Torah Vadas in 1931. He's 20 years old. And he's already giving a Shir. And he's already predicted to become one of the great Gedolim of the era. Okay, he went in the 1930s, went to Europe. He studied under Rav Aaron Cutler. But eventually he came back to the States, and he took back his position as Rosh Yeshiva in Torah Vadas, and that's where he's well known from. This is his picture on our shtender. Again, the Sefer is called Or Gedaliah. There's writings on the entirety of Chumash, as well as on the Mo'adim. And he died actually very suddenly and very tragically in 1979. He was actually at a Sheva Brachos for one of his Talmidim, and after he spoke, he collapsed, and he was taken out, and he passed away. Very frightening thing to imagine. He's buried in Yerushalayim on Har HaZeisim next to the Boyana Rebbe. Okay, so let's jump right in. The best way to get to know anyone is through their Torah. Okay, we're actually going to start on the second page. In front of you, so just turn to, it says 6 on the top of page 1, it says Dalit on the top of page 2. Okay, these are his collected writings on Elul. We're going to start with Oz Beis, top of the second side. Everyone see? Ha'arbaim Yom. You see that? Ha'arba'im yom ha'achronim hayu hachana l'kabbalas ha'Torah. Okay, Elul, of course, is the last 30 days of the calendar year. And then you have the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the first 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And these 40 days, he says, are 40 days of hachana l'kabbalas ha'Torah, 40 days of preparation to receive the Torah. To to receive the Torah? Hold on a second. We received the Torah on Yom Kippur. I thought we got the Torah on Shavuos. So he says, Haluchos Hashnios. We often think of Yom Kippur as a day of tshuva, but we also have to think of it as a day of Kabbalah Satorah. When did Moshe smash the first Luchos? Shivasar Batamus. Right? And then he goes back up 40 days later, and he brings down the second Luchos on Yom Kippur. Luchos Shnios. So Yom Kippur is a day of what? Is a day of Torah, a day of Kabbalah Satorah. So that means Chodesh Elul and Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, which we think of as Tshuva, 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 it's also really Hachana for Torah. Again, a very fitting thing for us to think about as we start a new Zman here in Yeshiva. Ukamosh Muvur B'Gemara Tanis, like the Gemara in Tanis says, Shatam She Yom Kippur Hu Yom Tov Mipnei Shehu Yom Shenitno Bo Torah Li Yisrael. Amazing thing. The Gemara says, you know why Yom Kippur is a Yantiv? What's the Gemara emphasize? Not Tshuva. It's a Yom Tov because it's the day that celebrates Torah. Now there's a ton to think about here in terms of the relationship between Torah and Tshuva. And how when we return to Torah, that's one of the best ways to return to Tshuva. The more we immerse ourselves in Torah, the more connected we'll be to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the world of Torah and Tshuva overlap tremendously. But think of Elul not just as a Zman of Tshuva, but a Zman to prepare yourself. Am I going to be ready on Yom Kippur to what? To receive the Luchos Shnios. Those are the Luchos that lasted. First Luchos didn't last. They were shattered. And the Gemara says explicitly, again, that Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov because that's the day we got the Torah. Ukemo shebidur ha-midbar hayu yamim elu ha-chana l'matan Torah. So we know in Judaism, time is not linear, but time is circular. Which means that anything that happened within time, when we come back to that point of the calendar, it happens again. It's not like once upon a time, Jews prepared 40 days to receive the Luchos. Every year on Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is this Shabbos and Sunday, we begin to what? Prepare ourselves to receive the Luchos again, to receive the Torah again. What happened to the Dor HaMidbar, Kein Nishar Hadavar Lidoros, so too this matter lasts, what? Forever, for all generations. Ukefi Achanaso B'Yom Eilu, Kein Huzocha L'Kabal HaTorah B'Yom HaKippur. So Chavre, if you want to come to Yom Kippur, see, everyone comes to Yom Kippur looking for Slicha, Mechila, Kapara. But also realize on Yom Kippur, in a certain sense, it's being determined what your Torah is going to look like for the year. And these are the days that we prepare ourselves to makabel that Torah. Okay, so it's not a small thing to be thinking about. Now, we spoke yesterday also about the importance of making sure we start off this Zman right, to make sure that we get that first step on the Yetzer Hara. Let's talk about another aspect of Elul that's deeply connected to Torah that, again, maybe we don't actualize enough. What are some of the feelings of Elul? What are some of the avoda of Elul? So you say tshuva. Okay, now we're learning Torah. What else? What else do we do more of, or hopefully more significantly in Elul, than other points of the calendar year? Davening. Slichos. Svardim say slichos from Rosh Chodesh Elul. Ashkenazim are a little lazier. We get a later start on things. Right? But we sound the shofar. Slichos. These are all expressions of what? Of tefillah. What's the relationship between Torah and Tefillah? Chavi, you have to daven that you should be successful in Torah. I know it's in your Siddur. It's like there's various points in the Siddur where we're asking Hashem to help us in Torah. Right before Shema, we beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us in Torah. In Shemon Esrei, we ask for success. At Chonei La'adam Das. We also have to really ask Hashem in an honest way. Say, Hashem, I'm learning Maseches Avodah Zarah this year. Say, hi. Hashem, hi. How are you? Shalom. The Dean of Ritz, Rabbi Penner, likes to say that when he starts his Shemona Esrei, he starts off by saying hi to Hashem. He doesn't actually say it, but he like thinks to himself, like, hi, Hashem. He even goes by his English name, that those who know him well call him. On paper, he's Rabbi Menachem Penner. Many people know him as Mark Penner. So he starts off as Shmona Esrei, he says, hi, Hashem, it's Mark. You know? Like, just, you exist, this is real, we're about to have a conversation, I'm going to ask for real things. You have to talk to Hashem and say, Hashem, hi, you know? It's Newsman. I'm in Moshe Tzvi Weinberg Shir. I'm in Yeshiva University. We're learning about Azara. Hashem, I need your help. I want to make sure that I have a successful Zman. Talk to Hashem. I had a shtick I was doing in davening for a little bit. I used to start off by saying, hi, Hashem, it's Rabbi Penner's friend. In my head. I know you have a good relationship with him, so hi, it's Moshe Tzvi. friend of Rabbi Penner. Rabbi Penner liked that, I told him. Okay, so you have to daven. These are days of tefillah also. Torah and tefillah and tshuva, it's all one package. Have a look inside. V'yamim elu, v'yamei elu, v'yamim hanoraim nikram yomei d'tzalusa. Who knows what tzalusa means? If you've ever paid attention to what we're saying in Kaddish, you'll know what the word means. Tiskabel tzaloson. Tefillah. These are days of tefillah. When we say at the end of a Kaddish Shalim, tiskabel tzaloson, we're saying titkabel, except tzaloson, our tefillah. Yes? What tzalusa means? Well, we're going to see. We're going to find out. Okay, it's an Aramaic word for davening. Shehem yuchadin. Well, he's going to quote a Gemara. That's why he's using it. Shehem yuchadin letfila laKadosh Baruch Hu. These are days that are unique opportunities to daven. Start the year right. Get to a good minion. I'm 2 for 2 davening in the main minion in Gluck. That's good. Not a lot of people go to that minion. I'm not promising I'm going to do it any more than today. But 2 for 2, I said at the beginning of the year, at least I should daven with Rav Shechter and the main minion in the yeshiva, you know? Okay, it's a little slower, it's a little longer. Good, that's a good thing. And if you think about it, the whole concept of tefillah was created during these days. As the Meshech Chochma explains, Ki eitzel malachim lo matzinu inyan shel tefillah. Angels don't have a concept of tefillah. By angels, there's no notion of tefillah. Rakshira matzinu etzlam. An amazing insight from the Meshech Chochma. You ever think about this? We often say, like, you know, when we daven to Hashem, angels also daven to Hashem. The angels don't daven to Hashem. Angels sing to Hashem. As human beings, we get to daven to Hashem. We get to communicate with Hashem. We get to request of Hashem. Malachim don't have what? Malachim don't have tefillah. They have shira. Ubnei Yisrael be'eis matan Torah shahayu bidargas malachim. So what were we like when we stood at Kabbalah Satorah? We became angelic. Chazal say that when the Jewish people got to Kabbalah Satorah, we were like Adam Arishon Kodem Achei. We weren't even human. We were superhuman. Ukamosha Kosov Ani Amarti Elohim Atem Uvene Elyon Kulchem. It's a pasuk in Tehillim Pei Beis. That we became godly, we became angelic. Lohay Etzlam Inyan Shel Tefila Klal. So when the Jews actually stood at Har Sinai, they didn't really have a notion, a concept of davening. What created the concept of davening? When was davening created? You know when davening was created? Rakishachatu Becheta Egel. When we had a Yerida with Cheta Egel, something very good came out of that. You know what came out of that? A unique ability to daven. Think about how Moshe petitioned on our behalf. Think about how Moshe brought down the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim that we used throughout Slichos to beg Hashem. That was created through the Cheta Egel, in a certain sense. Rak kishachatu b'Cheta Egel nischadish inyan shel tefila. Says Rav Gedalia Yeshua, Cheta Egel created the possibility of tefila. We're no longer angels. We become a little bit more dependent on Hashem. Right? A little bit more human in terms of our needs. That's okay. That creates a Pesach, an opening to what? To daven. Kirak al yedei tfila yochol bal tshuva liskar v'labori. That's a good line to underline. Kirak al yedei tfila yochol bal liskar v'labori. Because a bal tshuva has to be prepared to talk to Hashem. How does the Rambam define the mitzvah of tshuva? Give me one word. How does the Rambam define tshuva? Vidui. Vidui. Confession. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, the more you talk, the better. Tefillah is a conversation. So a Baal Tshuva, says Rav Gedalia Yeshur, needs to know how to daven. What do we do? That's what we do in Elul, Rosh Hashanah. The whole day we're in shul. Yom Kippur, the whole day we're in shul. It's a day of davening. But wait, I thought it's a day of Kabbalah Satorah. It's the same thing. If you don't daven over your Torah, and if you don't learn over your tefillah, it's not going to work. So Rabbi Nachman always spoke about turning Torah into tefillah, turning tefillah into Torah. They go hand in hand. If tshuva is the purpose of life, listen carefully. If tshuva is the purpose of all of life, to return to Hashem and be close to Hashem, then the two main ingredients to actualize that are what? Are Torah and tefillah, the two sides of one coin. Torah and tefillah create the possibility of being close to Hashem. So therefore, as an introduction to receiving the second luchos, Niten l'bnei Yisrael, inyan shel tefillah. Hashem gave us the possibility, a concept of tefillah. Shahisgalus hanavua shel yud gimel midos rachamim. The most powerful tefillah that we have. Hashem, Hashem, kel, rachum v'chanon, erech apai. Those phrases that we recite at the heights of the davening, the heights of the slichos. Hayachana l'anasinas haluchos. The strongest tefillah is what gets us ready to what? To receive the luchos. V'ayud gimel midos rachim hu seder shel tefillah. And the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim, that is the most succinct and complete package of tefillah that we have. It's an amazing thing. Ukalashon Chazal Nis'atef Kashatz. Anyone know that Gemara? It's Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Moshe, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum B'chanan, when Hashem was revealing to Moshe the most powerful tefillah in the world, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nis'atef. What does nis'atef mean? He put on a talis, so to speak. Keshatz. What's a shatz? Like a shliach tzibur. Hashem became the shliach tzibur. Imagine. Inspiring minion, no? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was your shliach tzibur. V'u derech avoda chadasha shehu hakdama l'nesinas haluchos. Avoda shel tefillah. You can't come to shir if you don't get up in the morning and daven first. Figure out which minion you want to go to and go there. Every day. Worst case scenario, you have two options. Your better option and your b'diavad option. Right? But if you're not going to get out of bed in the morning and take advantage of the many minyanim that we have on campus, and you're just going to get up quickly late and quickly throw on your tefillin and quickly daven for 5 minutes and then run to shir because, you know, well, Talmud Torah can get cool. Torah is more important than tefillah, so it's a terrible chesed. Torah needs tefillah and tefillah needs Torah. And they both need to be proper. Rak al yada hayu bnei Yisrael yecholin liskos l'Torah. It's only through proper tefillah that a Jew is zoichet to Torah. He's able to acquire Torah. Kamaymer Chazal, Elliot, here's the answer to your question. Chazal used the expression, Solosa ba'i shmaitza, v'shmaitza ba'i solosa. Davening needs shmaitza, needs learning, and learning needs davening. They have to go together. A person who thinks that he's holy by rushing through his davening so he can get more learning in, is making a big mistake. It has to be balanced. I can underline these next two lines. Shatfila v'toreim tluyim zeh b'zeh v'i efshar. It's not possible to be zocha l'torah rak al yedei tefillah. So, chaver, this is what El is about. El is a zman that's unique to prepare for Torah. It's a time to learn how to daven and to get ourselves ready. So El is a time of davening. It's a time of talking to Hashem. We move up a Shulchan Aruch min agas Svardim lomar slichos mi Rosh Chodesh. Elo, the Svardim begin to say slichos already from Rosh Chodesh. Look how they increase their davening. And again, the most powerful type of davening, slichos. Uve levush. The levush is a sefer on of halacha, written about 450 years ago. Rav Mordechai Yaffa was his name. Very similar to the style of the Shulchan Aruch. The Levush writes, Ki seder slichos hu kamo seder ha'amida shel tefillah. This is an amazing insight. You ever think about this? Slichos, the way that we say slichos, follows the pattern of amida shel tefillah, of shmona esrei. Think about mincha. Let's take mincha. Mincha, right? Mishachas, we have psukah. This is in Ramar, we have Kriya Shema. Let's take mincha. It's primarily about the shmona esrei. It's the centerpiece of mincha. But how do we package it? We start with Ashrei, right? Short Kaddish, Shmona Esrei, Tachnun, full Kaddish. It says the Levush, that's exactly the order of Slichos. It says the Levush, what do we do? Sh'omrim Ashrei, V'Kaddish, Mikodem Amiras Slichos. Right? How do we say Slichos? We start with Ashrei, Kaddish, Slichos, that's in place of Shmona Esrei. And then we have in the Filas Apayim, we say a Vidoy and a Tachnun at the end of Slichos, and then a Kaddish Shalem. It's mamash follows the pattern of davening. It's exactly the pattern by which we surround the Shmona Esrei. So Slichos is like Shmona Esrei. So it's like we're adding an extra Shmona Esrei. For Sephardim throughout Chodesh El, they're adding an extra Shmona Esrei every day. That says something about these days. These are days of Tefillah. So in addition to whatever we're adding in terms of extra Tefillos, it's a time to mechazik our Tefillah. Mamish kaseder atfila. Ukamosh, Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom, Tikin Li Yisrael, Gimel Tfilos B'chol Yom. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu instituted three tefillos a day, as it says in the Medrash Tanchuma, or on the top of the left column, Kein himshich li Yisrael hayud gimel midos shel rachamim. Moshe taught us how to daven. You'll say, if I asked you, tell me, what is Moshe famous for? Moshe? Torah. Moshe's Rabban Shel Yisrael, the greatest teacher of Torah. Zichru Toras Moshe. It's called Toras Moshe. Do we think of Moshe as an amazing davener? But he is. Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem said, I'm ready to destroy Klal Yisrael, Moshe davened. Parshas Veschanan, we just had, Moshe davened 515 tefillos to try to get into Eretz Yisrael. And the Vilna Gaon explains 515 totally different, not just 515, you know, running through Shmona Esrei. 515 different nuschos of tefillah, different kavanos of tefillah. Moshe was an amazing davener. He taught Klal Yisrael the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. He brought those down by davening for us in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. So therefore, just like Moshe gave us, so to speak, says the Medrash, the three main tefillos, Moshe also told us there's a time to take it up a notch, to increase your tefillah in a significant way. It's part of the tshuva process and it's part of the Kabbalah HaTorah of Yom Kippur. HaSeder HaMiyuchat Shel Rachamim Shenizgala B'Yom Elu. This unique revelation of Hashem's mercy that we can access during these days. And therefore, look how he concludes the piece. Uveyamim Elu Shehem Yuchadim L'Tfilah. Shehem Yemei Ratzon. So these days which are unique for tefillah, these are Yemei Ratzon. That's often how we refer to these days of El and the Yom Noram. Yemei Ratzon. Days of such awesome potential. Days of longing. Right? It's hard to translate the word Ratzon. It means so many different things. So much access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during these days. Tzarich ha'adam lispalel al atzmo va'al haklal. These are days you have to daven for yourself. You have to daven for someone else. Daven for your chavrusa. Daven for the success of our yeshiva. Daven for all the yeshivas that are starting yeshiva in Elul. Daven that Klal Yisrael should have a good year. Right? Daven for the safety and security of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. Person needs to daven for the Klal, in addition to davening for himself. Ulekayim shifchi kamayim libech nochach p'nei Hashem. It's not just a song, but it's a pasuk in Eicha, very good. Shkoyach Reb Dov. In the second parak of Eicha, Shivchi Kamayim Libeich Nochach Pnei Hashem, pour out your heart. Right? Kamayim. Look what he does here. This is Rav Gedalia Yishor showing you his depth in a very hidden way. Look what he writes in just half a line. Shabayamim Eiluhu Nimtza Nochach Pnei Hashem. If you want to be Nochach Pnei Hashem, standing right before Hashem, opposite Hashem. Va'oz Yizka LeTorah. And you want to be zochet to Torah, ein mayim el Torah. Look how he's reading the pasuk. Shifchi kamayim libech. Mayim, we know in Chazal, is a code word for Torah. It's a gemara in Brachos, it's a braisa in Pirkei Avos, and it's also a gemara in Vodazar, ein mayim el Torah. I think it's on Daf Yud Zayin. Ein mayim el Torah. So shifchi kamayim libech. You have to open your heart to what? To Torah, to tefillah, to pour out your heart in tefillah with the awareness that I'm preparing to be makabel the Torah on Yom Kippur. And then, nochach p'nei Hashem. That's how a Jew comes face to face with the Kodesh Baruch Hu during these days. Okay? Gvaldik hadracha for us during the Yemei Ratzon of El and the Yom Norah. Okay? Let's learn one more piece from Rav Gedalia Yishor. And then I'm just going to add two little other points to it based on the other handout I gave you today. Okay? Let's learn Os Gimel. Okay, each piece here stands alone. Okay, very next piece right on the page. You don't have to turn the page, right in front of you. Left-hand column, Gimel. The Medrash says on the Pasuk, Ki yikare kan tzipor lefanecha. When you encounter a kan tzipor, a bird's nest on the road in front of you, we call that mitzvah shiluach ha? Shiluach ha? Kain. Shiluach ha kain. The Hebrew word for a bird's nest is a cane. Because of Hebrew grammar, in the pasuk it becomes kan tzipor. Okay? But the mitzvah is really called shiluach ha-cane. Okay? How do you say cane in plural? It's a mesechta in Shas. Kinim. Cane, kinim. How do you say an arrow in Hebrew? Chetz. Okay? How do you say arrows? Chitzim. Cane, kinim. Yeah, it's only kan because of the syntax in the pasuk, which I don't really understand because unfortunately my Hebrew grammar is terrible. But I want to know. It's so important to understand Hebrew grammar. So when you take Hebrew, do a little plug for Hebrew, the most beloved course in all of the YU catalog, you should take it seriously. Okay? When you encounter a bird's nest before you, right? We know the Torah says, "Shalach tishalach asayim," send away the mother bird, and take the eggs or the chicks for yourself. Okay, says the Medrash, "Zeu sha'amar akasuv." The Medrash compares this pasuk to what? "Ki livyas chein heim l'roshecha." A pasuk in the first parak of Mishle, "Ki livyas chein heim l'roshecha." Livyas chein is like some type of jewelry ornament that was worn on the head. So a livyat chein, like a livyat chein, like an ornament of chein, it is for your head, and the end of the pasuk, and also like a necklace for your neck. What is a livyat chein l'roshecha? What is this beautiful piece of jewelry for your head, and like a necklace around your neck? What's the pasuk right before that in Mishle? Famous pasuk. Shema b'ni musar avicha, al titosh torasimecha. Listen seriously to Musar and to Torah, because Musar and Torah is like a beautiful headband, some type of headdress that was worn in ancient times, a beautiful ornamentation, jewelry of the head, and like a beautiful necklace. Torah adorns a person. Okay? Why are Chazal quoting this pasuk about Torah is like beautiful jewelry on the pasuk when you encounter a bird's nest on the road? It's an interesting mitzvah, no? Look how the Torah describes it. Ki yikare kan sipor lefanecha. Yikare means when you happen upon it. You weren't even trying to do this mitzvah. You just like stumbled into this bird's nest. And all of a sudden, oh, look! A bird's nest. Oh, an opportunity to do a mitzvah. An opportunity came my way. Listen to the Medrash. Amar of Pinchas Bar Chama. Lechol makom sheteilech ha-mitzvos malavos ascha. Wherever a person goes, there are mitzvah opportunities. Okay? Chevra, I'm about to give my yeshiva/university plug. And the importance of making sure that your whole day is Kodesh Kadashim, not just your morning. And we thank Rav Gedalia Shor for being our spokesman. Listen, he was the Rosh Yeshiva of a yeshiva that was called what? Torah Vadas. Okay. Torah Mada, Torah Vadas. No, I'm serious. So, Torah Vadas was also not so off, not so different hashkafically from maybe the original path of Yeshiva University. Dig up, I challenge you. Go into an old Sfarim store, and you know, like where they have used Sfarim, and poke your head around in the back until you find like an old English Torah Vadas Haggadah. And you'll see what the articles in there are. And you'll see. You say, wait a minute, this sounds a lot like Yeshiva Sorbeinu Yitzchak Elkanah. Okay. Torah Vadas, Torah Mada. Yeah? So says Rav Shor, listen to this, amazing medrash. A Jew, and by the way, and I always say that if you really understand what the mission statement of YU is, it's mamish chassidus. It's mamish the same mission statement of the Baal Tanya and all of the tzaddikim, Talmide Baal Shem Tov. Says the medrash, mitzvos are found wherever you go. And this year we loathe the notion that you can only be from in the base medrash. That you're only serving Hashem when you're davening or when you're learning or when you're doing a mitzvah in a classic sense. Mitzvos are everywhere, says the Medrash. Mitzvos are everywhere. Mitzvos accompany you wherever you go. You're walking down the street, you find this bird's nest. You found the mitzvah. Ki sivna bayis chodesh vasisa makala gagecha. You're building a house. That's a pretty gashmiyazdik thing. You want a nice house to live in. Remember, there are mitzvos. Put a fence on your roof. Im masisa lecha delas, ha mitzvos alavos ascha. If you put a door, well, guess what? It comes with a mitzvah, one that we spent a lot of time learning about yesterday. What's that mitzvah called? Mezuzah. Shenamar uchsav tom v'chulu. Im levashta kelim chadashim, if you have nice clothing, mitzvos. Tzitzis. Make sure your garments don't have shatness. Afilu lo ha'isa osik b'davar el mahalich b'darach. Even if you're not doing anything, you're just out for a stroll. There are mitzvos all around. There may be a bird's nest that you find in the street. Ha'mitzvos malavos ascha. Mitzvos accompany you. Milaveh, they escort you. Minayin, where do we know it? The Torah gives an amazing example. Ki yikare kan tzipor lefanecha baderech. However, what mitzvah is often equated in a certain sense with the mitzvah shiluach hakein? Kibud av ve'em. Why are they equated? What do they have to do with each other? Right? They both have a promise of Arichas Yamin. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that Kibbut Av Ha'Eim is Chamura Shebechamuros, the hardest mitzvah in the world. It is. No matter how much you respect your parents and do for your parents, there's no way you can pay them back for giving you life. It's the most difficult mitzvah. Rabbi Tarfon's bragging in the Gemara in Kiddushin about how amazing he is at Kibbut Av Ha'Eim. He literally lies down on the floor so his mother can step on his back. And the rabbi said, you didn't even do half of what's expected of you. It's Chamura Shebechamuros, the Yerushalmi says, the hardest of the hard. What's the easiest mitzvah of all? Shiloh HaKein. You're not even trying to find the mitzvah. You're just walking down, you know, walking down a path. You find the bird's nest. Right? You sneak up behind the mother bird. What do you say? Boo. And the bird flies off. And now you get a long life. Keep it out of aim. And you know, a mitzvah that takes so much effort and thoughtfulness. And a mitzvah that's so easy to do. But the point is, yeah, if you have a Shiloh HaKein attitude, if you're looking for mitzvahs everywhere, you're going to have a Arichas Yamim. Not only in this world, but in the next world, which is what the Pasuk probably really means. So therefore, says Rav Gedalia Shor, Bir HaDvarim Hu, the explanation of this Medrash is as follows. Ki Levaya Perusho Hu Chivor. To be malav as something, to escort someone, if you come to visit me in my house, and I'm a good host, and I escort you out, I walk you to the door, right? So what am I really doing by escorting you? I'm trying to what? I'm trying to stay connected to you for a little bit longer. Levi. Why was Levi called Levi? That's the Shevet whose name is most like the word for escorting. Malava Malka. Go to Shabbos. We escort Shabbos out. Why is Levi called Levi? What does the word Levi mean? What is his mother Davin? Now that I have a son Levi, I have a Reuven, I have a Shimon, I have a Levi, hopefully now my husband will what? Will be what? Will be connected to me. Will be connected to me. So when I escort, right? If I escort someone, if I go for a walk there with Matthew Honig, right, if I escort him down the block, that means I'm connecting to him. We're walking together. We're staying mechubar. We're staying attached. So says Rav Shor, listen carefully. Escorting perusho hu chibur. To be malava, to escort someone, means to be connected to them. Because when you escort someone, you're maintaining that connection. You're saying, well, even though you left my house, but I'm going to walk you down the block so that we've sort of moved my house from being my house to down the block. Right? Now my place is over here also. So you came to visit me, you want to extend that stay, so instead of it just being limited to my house, when I walk with you, we continue that encounter. It travels with you. And so too we find in the writings of the Maharal of Prague. Right? That when you escort someone, when you travel to a certain place, that means you're connecting to that place. You're forming a relationship with that place. And so too when we talk about mitzvos, escorting a person, what that means is mitzvos are connected to a person wherever he goes. Keep your eyes open. There's always opportunities to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because a mitzvah brings a person close to Hashem. Because every physical activity that I do, you have to realize, why do I need to turn everything into a mitzvah? What happens if it's not a mitzvah? See, people think that there's something in Judaism called neutral zone. There's no neutral zone in Judaism. Anyone bring me a proof from this week's Parsha? How does our Parsha begin? Re'ei anochi nosen lifneichem hayom. There's only two paths. Behold, I'm placing before you today bracha and klala. Oh, hold on. Hashem, hold on a second. Bracha and klala, there's nothing in between. Every move I make in this world is either a bracha or a klala. I'm not saying that's like parv, you know, neutral. Some things are mitzvos, some things are averos, and some things are divrei reshus, optional, you know, neutral. It's not good or bad. Deep thinking Jews don't believe in such an idea at all. And the Chumash is telling us there's no such thing. There's no middle ground. There's bracha and klala, there's two paths. There's no such thing as a divrei reshus. Is playing basketball a mitzvah or an avera? Is eating ice cream a mitzvah or an avera? Depends on your kavana. Eating ice cream can be a mitzvah. Playing basketball can be a mitzvah. It could also be an avera. Depends on your attitude. Depends on why you're doing it. Depends when you're doing it. Depends how you're doing it. How long you're doing it. A deep-thinking Jew says there is no such thing as rishus. You have to figure out how is every single thing that I'm doing that looks kind of, you know, parv, turn it into something. Turn it into a mitzvah. If not, it's going to have a negative hashpanyu. I'm not saying negative like an avera. But if you do a davar gashmi, a physical activity, or involved in some type of behavior that serves the body, if you don't add a mitzvah element to it, you become more physical. You become less spiritual. In other words, you're more detached from Hashem. It's as simple as that. So says Rav Gedal Yeshur, again, when a person does a maisa gashmi, he becomes megusham. He becomes physical from that act. And therefore he becomes what? Distanced from Hashem. Vizeu bir b'masha amru avera goreres avera. Pirkei Avos. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? One avera leads to the next. In other words, everything you do is going to cause your next step. Nah, this is not a step in either direction. This is just neutral, you know? No such thing. Everything you see, everything you say, everything you do, it has a hashpa on you. Again, some things have a bigger hashpa, some things have a smaller hashpa. Everything has a hashpa. Because if you did a physical act, not an avera, but you didn't make it into a holy moment, you didn't bring Hashem in to that moment, so you became farther away from Hashem. In other words, it's going to be easier for you to sin now. So that's avera, goreres avera. The first thing wasn't an avera. It wasn't avera. You had an opportunity to do something spiritual, and you squandered it. That's an avera. It's a wasted moment of life. That's an avera. Again, I know this is a very high level, right? But it's also not such a high level. To just be a little more thoughtful and to say, Hashem says, enjoy the world. Enjoy olam haza. But do it in a way of ruchnius. Shal yidei masha adam osek bin yonam gashmiyim nasa adam migusham. When you're involved in physical things, it has a hashpa on a person. What does the word mitzvah mean? We spoke about the word levaya means chibur. You know what mitzvah means? Mitzvah also means chibur. That's right. The Gemara uses the word tzavsa. Tzavsa means companionship. Mitzvah is also a lashon of connection. Mitzvah means connections. That's what mitzvahs are. They're connection points in the world. So that a Jew doesn't what? A Jew doesn't become disconnected from a Kaddish Baruch. It's the mashal of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. When a person gets kares, he's cutting ropes. Right? You're attached to Hashem by strings, mitzvahs, and there are certain strings which are the most important. 36 major ropes linking you to Hashem. 36 things that a person can get kares for. And every time you do something that gets kares, you eat chametz on Pesach, you just cut a huge rope. And now you're dangling. And you need to reattach yourself to Hashem before you fall. Every mitzvah is a rope. Tzavsa, it's a lashon of chibur, companionship, of attachment. Okay, so therefore, says Rav Gedal Yeshur, 8 lines from the bottom, V'lechein siva kadosh baruch hu shebechol maisa gashmi yasa mitzvah. So therefore, don't let a maisa gashmi, a physical act, just be a physical act. You have to find a way to make it into a mitzvah. Hashem made it easy for us. Hashem gave us a lot of practice. You build a house, build a fence. You have clothing, tzitzis. Check for shatness. You build a doorpost, mezuzah. You're walking down the street, you encounter a bird nest. Do what you're supposed to do. Send away the mother bird. You have a field, leket, peya, shichacha. So many mitzvos. Everything that you do. V'lachein tziva kadosh baruch hu shebechol maisa gashmi yasa mitzvah. Shal yoda yekasher atzmo makadosh baruch hu. A mitzvah attaches us to Hashem. V'lo yiska Hashem b'yoso osek binyanim gashmi. So you don't become overly physical as a human being when you're involved in physical activities. Okay? He gives an example. 6 lines from the bottom. What is the most basic physical activity that we have as human beings? We eat food. We need to eat. I'm always like just so fascinated on a fast day. I always say to my wife, like at the end of a fast, I say, look how weak we are. Look how limited we are as human beings. Look how dependent we are. You know, like when you had a good meal and you're feeling good and you're like awake and you got a good night's sleep, you had a good breakfast, right? You feel so powerful. If you're one day without food, you're falling apart. Your head hurts, you're tired, you're lethargic. We're so dependent on Hashem. How about the breath of air that we need to breathe? How long would it take without air for us to be gone? Right. Like the Medrash says, "Kol neshima u'neshima tahalalka." Kol neshama tahalalka. Thank Hashem for kol neshima, for every breath. We're so dependent on Hashem. We have to realize it. So when we prepare food, as a cultural society today, making food means going across the street and buying yourself a slice of pizza. But in the good old days, you had to farm, and you had to plow, and you had to plant. And every step of the way were mitzvos. To show you that what? That every physical activity, your most physical activities, can be mitzvos. So it says Rav Gedalia Yeshua, when a person is zoreya tvua, when a person plants grain, shekol maisa sha'osa ba'tvua, everything he does with his grain, sholid bo yoser maisi yidei adam, the more man gets involved with it, the more mitzvos come along with it. Yesh od mitzvah la'adam. There's further mitzvos. Biktsira yesh mitzvahs leket shechecha upeya. When you're kotzer, when you harvest your field, there's a mitzvah of leket shechecha and peya. Let's go in reverse order. What's peya? You leave a corner of your crop, corner of your field for the poor. What's leket? If you drop one or two stalks, you're not allowed to pick it up. If you drop a bundle, you got to pick it up. If you drop one or two stalks, you have to leave it behind for the poor. Shechecha, if you're harvesting and you miss a section, again, you learn Mishnayos Peya, learn the details of it. But forgotten stalks, again, Chazal define what that means. You've passed over this area. It's kind of left behind. Also, shicha, left for the poor. So when you harvest your field, you're constantly thinking about, not how do I, you know, bring in the produce, my success of the year. I'm thinking about how can I give to others? How can I support others? B'miruach, when I'm meruach, when I make my pile of kernels, and I smooth out the pile. And now I'm looking, right? I already did my threshing, I crushed it up, and now I'm standing there, miruach, I'm smoothing out the pile, my big pile of grain. What do I have to do? Yesh trumos u'maisros. Again, mitzvos. Give to the kohen, give to the levi, give more to the ani. U'kesha osa isa, when I make the dough, yesh mitzvah shachala. Got to take another portion off, every step of the way. A mitzvah. Ki ha-mitzvos malav, and turn the page, as ha-adam. Mitzvos, top of page 8. Mitzvos escort a person. Shelo yizgashem al yedei maisav, that a person shouldn't become physical through his actions. Uvachol dargash in yizgashem, and every time we get closer to eating that bread, right? Shenizgashem atuva biyoser, it started off as a stalk, and now it turned into a kernel. Now it turns into dough. And now it's a nice loaf of bread. Every step of the way, Hashem is saying, mitzvos, mitzvos, mitzvos. Be careful. Baking bread can drag you down if you don't have a proper mindset. So everything that you do to make it more into something, you have to what? You got to do a mitzvah. Okay? Last paragraph on the page for today. V'yesh levar hadvarim yoser. Let's try to understand just a little bit more. Ki be'emes ikur tachlis ha'maisa gashmi. So says Rav Gedalia Yeshua, until now I've been telling you, you want to do a Maisa Gashmi, so do Hashem a favor, in quotes, and add a little bit of mitzvah to it. You're baking bread, so make it a little bit spiritual. Rav Shor says, you're still thinking like a child. It's not how a deep, mature Jew thinks. What's the right way to think, Chevra? I want the mitzvah even more than what? I want the Maisa Gashmi. The mitzvah is the real thing, and as an excuse to do the mitzvah, I need a physical object. What's the greatest story to express this idea? When someone came to Rav Aaron of Karlin, and he said, Rav Aaron, I don't understand. You're a Rebbe, and I'm a Chassid. Why are you the Rebbe, and I'm the Chassid? And he asked the question because he saw Rav Aaron was eating an apple. He was munching on an apple. So he said, Rebbe, I see you're a human being just like me. I like apples, you like apples. I eat apple and make a bracha, you eat an apple and make a bracha. What's the difference between the two of us? So the Rebbe said to him, he said, I'll tell you why I'm the Rebbe and you're the Chassid. You like apples, you enjoy eating apples. He says, I do. So he says, and because you're an Erlich Yid, you know that the Gemara says in brachas, you can't take food without paying for it. How do we pay for our food? With a bracha. Right? So you make a bracha to be able to eat the apple. He says, I don't like apples that much. I'm a big rebbe, I don't really need to eat that much, but I like brachas. I'm hungry for brachas. But I can't just make bray priya eats on nothing. So I make a bracha, right? I eat the apple in order to be able to make a bracha. Yeah? You make a bracha to fulfill your true desire, which is to eat the apple. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's beautiful. But the higher level is what? I'm not so interested in the apple. The apple is just an excuse, a hecha timtza, to be able to connect to Hashem through the recitation of a bracha. Says Rav Gedalia, sure, that's really the goal. Ki ikar tachlis hamaisa hagashmi hu rak hamitzvah shenaseva. That's why Hashem gave us physical desires. It's not, enjoy your physical desires and, throw Hashem like a little mitzvah on the side. The goal is to be a person who wants mitzvos, and you use physicality as a way of actualizing those mitzvos. Kamo she'isa b'svarim. Look at this line. She'kol hatam she'esh bayis hu kedei lasos mezuzah. Think about that in the context of yesterday's shir. You know why we have houses? We have animals live in the field. Why can't we live in the field? Hashem gave us a human desire to build houses. You know why? Not about the house. It's about that little cloth hanging on the doorway. No matter how big your house is, how nice your house is, the tachlis of a house is a mezuzah. That's why we have a house. To be able to mekayim mitzvos mezuzah. V'lo kamo shechoshim b'nei aldam. Not like people think. The opposite. Shaho v'yesh bayis, yesh mishvah. So mezuzah. People think, well, since I have a house, so I want to pay respects to God, so I put up a mezuzah. You have to realize that again, that the true form of every action that we do is the mitzvah component of it. We think the bias is real, and this is just this tiny little cloth. No. If we had spiritual eyes, we would see that the house, not so impressive. The mezuzah is shining on the doorpost. That's mamish, the real thing. That's the ikar of the mitzvah. That's the tzura. Tzura means the image, the true form. A mitzvah she'osa. So now, chaver, let's come back to what we started with. V'zeu be'emes ha'peirah shel livyas chein. Again, what was the pasuk from Mishlei that the Medrash quoted in describing a Jew who's wandering around and he comes across a bird's nest? I compared it to the pasuk in Mishlei. It's like a what? It's like a livyas chein. I told you, it's like a beautiful headdress that was worn in ancient times as jewelry. But what is chein? Anyone here ever learned Likutei Moharan, the first piece from Rabbi Nachman? It talks about the fallen chein, the disconnect between the spiritual and the physical world, and how if we would hold ourselves to higher standards, the nations of the world would have greater respect for us. We're learning in Avodah Zarah. Livyas chein, he says, she'isa b'svarim, chein she'chein hu rashi tevos chachma nistara. We saw the word yesterday. Yodei Chein. Yodei Chein is a term that you find, even in Rishonim. Yodei Chein is a term that means what? Those who know Kabbalah. Jewish mysticism. Chein stands for Chachma Nistara, hidden wisdom. So you know what's a Livyat Chein? You want to show that you're a deep Jew? You have to understand that when you walk down the street and you see that bird's nest, right? You say, of course, there's mitzvahs everywhere. Even when I wasn't even looking for a mitzvah, I found a mitzvah. That's a Jew with deep eyes and a deep mind. Shall yideya mitzvos yargish ha'odom ha'chochma nistar she'ish b'chol ma'isa. To find the secret wisdom within everything. Again, if you never learned the first piece of Likutei Moharan from Menachem of Breslov, I highly recommend it. There's nice English commentaries if you need help. But again, be a person who's what? A yodei chein. Be a person who wears livyat chein l'roshecha. A person who wears what? Whose mind is open to see spiritual worlds. Not, God forbid, to be stuck in Manhattan with Manhattan eyes, with physical eyes. Yes, Yehuda.
I'm just wondering if chain is only Rosh Tevos and Mefarshim are also when it's written in Torah.
I mean, again, on a deeper level, it hints to it. Right? Whenever we see the word chain, it hints to this idea. Right? Chain also means charm, right? Livyat chain. But it always alludes to there's a certain charm that comes from a person who is able to see beyond. I always say the var from the Sfas Emes, amazing var. Sfas Emes says, and you'll think about it when you say Shema, such an important var from the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says that when we say, Lo sasur achrei levavchem b'achrei neichem, don't stray after your eyes and after your heart. What does it mean, don't stray after your eyes? Some pretty woman's walking down the street and she's not sneers. Don't look. It's also true. That's what Chazal say. So Hasama says, guard your eyes. Lo sasur achrei einechem. Don't be deceived by your physical eyes. Don't stray after your eyes. You can look at a situation and just see, you know, you're sitting at an interview for a summer internship, and all you see is some rich guy who you're trying to kiss up to try to get the internship. Where's Hashem in the room? Don't be fooled by your physical eyes. It's got nice cufflinks. Don't get caught in that. Look up. Look around. There's a Rabbana Shalom. You're sitting in front of a steak. Don't just see a piece of meat. See nitzotzos, see holy sparks that are waiting to be redeemed and to be restored to their place. Again, don't stray after your physical eyes. Your physical perception can be very misleading. It's amazing. It's a physical reality. I've told some of you in the past. Right? How does the eye work? How does the physical eye work? It flips an image upside down, right? Your eye processes an image. It flips it back and forth upside down. It's a reminder that this world is an upside down world. Olam hafach ra'isi, like the Gemara says in Psachim daf nun. It's an upside down world. You have to be able to see deep. That's what it means to be a person of chayin. So you want to be a person of chayin? When you're walking down the street and you see a bird's nest, right? Turn it into a mitzvah. You stumbled across it. Good. You're tripping. There's mitzvahs. You're stumbling over mitzvahs everywhere. It's all over the place. Okay? Let's finish the piece. Uvesefer Yetzira. Sefer Yetzira is one of the earliest works of Kabbalah, the Book of Creation. Its authorship is attributed to Avram Avinu. In Sefer Yetzira, what does it say? It says about Chodesh Elul, Himlich Os Yud B'Ma'asa. Okay, so for those who are new to this, I'll explain it very quickly. Every month has a letter that's associated with it. Every month has an action or emotion associated with it. And every month has other things. It has a mazel, has a shevet, a corresponding shevet. When you walk into the entrance of this building, you saw that weird zodiac thing on the floor? Those are the 12 mazalos of the calendar. Okay? Every month has a letter, every month has an action, every month has an emotion, a shevet, a personality. There's different you know, puzzle pieces that help us to unlock the secrets of the months. Sefer Yetzirah reveals to us many of those secrets. And in Sefer Yetzirah it says that the letter for the month of Elul, now we're going to tie it into Chodesh Elul, is the letter Yud. The action for the month of Elul is Ma'aseh, is action, is doing. Pesach, Nisan, the month of Nisan is a time of speech. That's why we Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The month of Iyar is a time of Hirhor, of thinking. Right? Adar is laughter. What's Elul? Elul is Ma'aseh, action. The letter Yud, an action. What's the Pshat? Explains the Gedalia Yeshua so beautifully. Ki b'chodesh Elul, shebechodesh hazeh haya machshavas habriya. This is the month that HaKadosh Baruch Hu contemplated creation. Again, if we believe Hayom Haras Olam, if we say on Rosh Hashanah, today is creation of the world. So Elul is when Hashem was, just like we're planning, we're trying to figure out how to make the most of our year. Hashem was also planning during these days. Hashem was thinking. Hashem was thinking in a deep way. Chodesh Elul was a time where Hashem was contemplating creation. So Himlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'os Yud, Shehu Romez Al Chachma. The letter Yud, okay? The letter Yud, listen carefully, is associated with Chachma. He quotes a Rashi, She Yud Al Shem HaMachshava Nemra. Rashi on the words Uz Yashir. Why does it say Uz Yashir? Yud, Rashi says, represents Chachma. There's a lot to talk there in terms of Hasidus and Kabbalah. Not for now. We'll take his word for it. Yud is the letter that means Chachma. So the letter for the month of Elul is what? It's Chachma, being a deep thinker. And yet the action for the month of Elul is action. It's Maisa. It's Gashmias. Physicality. Doing. And says Rav Gedalia Shor, it's exactly the avod of Elul. Elul is a time where a Jew starts to, I got to think more deeply. I got to be someone who's doing, but I got to do in a deep way. I got to get involved in good things. But again, Elul is not just a time to like fake Hashem out, you know? Oh, it's almost Rosh Hashanah, I better start doing more things. Doing more things with Chachma. Having Chachma Nistara. Liv Yad Chain. To be a person who thinks deeply. Shebekol Maisa Gashmi. Yebo chachman istara. Do a lot in Elul. Be a doer. But do it with a maturity, with a depth, with an understanding. Haliv yatchein. Val yod yesh biyacholes ha'odom, shelo liyas gashem be'ez osko b'tzarcha v'gashmi. So Elul is a time, again, very subtly, Rav Gedalia Shur is giving us the whole mission statement of Elul. It's a time we got to start doing more. But if you're just going to try to do more, you're not going to... What's going to make Tufshin Pei different than Tufshin Ayin Tes? Not just doing more. Change your whole perspective. Have new eyes. See the world in a deeper way. Okay, I want to just conclude today. Just take the other packet for a second. I'm just going to show you one little piece. We don't have time to do most of what's here. But just turn to the third page. When I say page, I'm counting sides. The one that says Yismach Lev on top. Okay, in the second packet, in the smaller packet. This is from the Sefer Ma'or Einayim, the Rebbe of Chernobyl. And in the back, there are some comments on the Gemara. And he has just one amazing teaching from the Baal Shem Tov, which again, you can't be a college/yeshiva student without knowing this teaching. And it's exactly what we were just learning. How do I turn my mundane actions into mitzvahs? How do I turn a class that I'm not super excited about into an opportunity to connect to Hashem? And the answer is not, by the way, always hiding a little Gemara under your desk. Okay, so what's the answer? The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, by the arrow, that one of the six questions that we're going to be asked in the world to come is Nasata v'natata b'emuna. The first question. You know what Nasata v'natata means? We had in the opening Mishnah of Avodah Zarah yesterday. Right? Nasata v'natata b'emuna. Did you do your business dealings with emuna? This is not when I'm at work, when I'm in class. Listen to this. Rot Omer. Kihine Esek Masa Umatan Hugam Kevoda Vitorah. This is going to separate the Hasidim from the Misnagdim. Okay. I don't understand what we're about to learn, so get more involved and you'll come to understand it as being a very, very clear and deep truth. Listen to what the Rebbe of Chernobyl says, the Ma'or Einayim. Esek Masa Umatan, when a person is involved in business, people sometimes come to me, they're so nervous, they're leaving YU and they're taking a job, and what's going to be? What's going to be? I don't know. You're going to still serve Hashem all day. No, but I'm not in the Beis Medrash anymore. So, it's different avoda. It's different than learning Gemara. That's true. But it's also avoda. It's also Torah, if you know how to see in the right way. Ki kama dinam yesh al zeh. Because what does a Jew do in this world? What the Rav Gedalia Shur was just telling us. What activity do we do in this world that doesn't have halachos? Sleeping with your spouse has halachos. Cleaning yourself in the bathroom has halachos. Putting food in your body has halachos. Tying your shoes has halachos. There's nothing that we do in this world that doesn't have halachos. So we're always involved in Torah. Yeah, but it doesn't feel like, okay, so grow up. So learn how to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu in physical activities. Right? That's going to be the majority of your lives, Chevra, for most of you. I don't think most of you are probably going to end up in Kollel. I'm not discouraging it for someone who it's right for. Imagine most of you are going to be working people. So what, you're going to spend the majority of your day involved in work and you're going to think the majority of my day I'm not an Eved Hashem? Chas v'shalom. Va'amar harav ha'Baal Shem Tov. He quotes the Baal Shem Tov. Ki yema adam ha'lo mides ha'Torah l'shem ha'bori baruch hu. If a person learns Torah to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'mashal, im lo med ha'mishnah ha'machlif para b'chamor, you're sitting in the Beis Medrash. Yeah? And you're sitting there with your Bava Kama, or your Bava Metzia, or your Bava Basra. And you're learning about a person who exchanged a para with a chamor. Shor shenagach has a para. You know? Hakones tzol nadir. And you're thinking, right? I mean, it's Torah. I don't have a shor. I don't have a chamor. I never exchanged a donkey for a cow. Yeah? But you also know, learning Torah. Talmud Torah k'neged kulam. Learning Torah is the greatest thing in the world. Even though you're learning something you're not even applying to your life. Okay? But you're learning Torah. So says the Baal Shem Tov. It's going to sound controversial, but I'm telling you it's not. Says the Baal Shem Tov. Look at the top of the left column where it's underlined. Kol shekeinim osa hadavar. Baal Shem Tov says people think learning about exchanging a para for a chamor is a chashuv thing. But a farmer who's out in the field, who's actually exchanging a par for a chamor, he's an Amah Aretz, not serving Hashem. The guy who's sitting in Kola learning about exchanging a par for a chamor, Ah, he's mamish and Eved Hashem. Baal Shem Tov says, if just talking about it gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachas ruach, all the more so when I do it with my body. I take my gashmias and I turn it into something godly. That's awesome. That's amazing. When I run my business according to Torah, God forbid to walk around thinking that's not serving Hashem. That's a chashuv way to serve Hashem. Because everything in the world is given to us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki kol davar katan v'gadol einu misnayeg kiyum al pi haTorah. There's everything in this world operates in accordance with Torah. Not like the nations of the world, which are living in a natural world, a world that's governed by the stars. Umikol davar yachol la'avodas Hashem u'lahakir niflos habore baruch. And that's more than enough for you to digest for one day. Says the Moreh Na'im, quoting really from the Baal Shem Tov, it's a mahalach in life, that in everything that a Jew does, he's able to recognize the niflos habore baruch, to come to recognize the Kadosh Baruch. This is the Avodah of El. Again, so succinctly hinted to in the connection between the letter Yud and the action of Masa. To make sure that we become Yodei Chen. Again, mature thinkers. You have to grow up. It's hard sometimes. We're so used to a certain way of thinking. A certain hashkafa, what it means to, you know, serve Hashem and get points and get Olam Haba and be found favorable in Hashem's eyes. But you're older now. You're wiser now. You can learn more deeply. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should help us, this Elul, to be people who adorn ourselves with that Livyas Chen and find the Kadosh Baruch Hu in everything that we do.